Well, we found Patty Vasquez. She'll join us in about 10 minutes or so. Yesterday, news came up that a missing piece, or at least a possible missing piece, of missing flight MH370 had washed ashore. And I believe in northern Africa.
Yes, by Mozambique, I believe.
The book, The Vanishing of Flight MH370, is by Richard Quest, who, if you watch CNN ever, is a distinctly fascinating guy and an aviation expert, amongst other things, along with the financial world. But anyway, the true story of the hunt for the missing Malaysian plane. And Richard joins us now. Richard, I'm a fan. You know that. We've talked before. But congratulations on finishing this book.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, and it was, I have to say, everybody said it was difficult to write a book, and it was one of the most difficult things that I've done.
It is very, very, it's not just time consuming. You want to get it right, especially in a case like this, even though you deal in this world all the time. This story was just number one for us until Trump showed up, number one for us nonstop. And the idea is, and I think you'd agree with this, Richard, the frightening thing is, and why we're so wrapped up in this, we go, well, that could have been us. And how does a plane fall out of the sky, which you talk about specifically in the book? They don't do that.
Not only could it have been us, but 2 years later, Steve, we've got no idea really where it is. We think we know roughly, but we've got no precision. And worse, we have absolutely no idea what happened. And when I say that, I'm not just giving the journalists hyperbole, but I've looked at this upside down, backwards and inside out. We do not know what happened to that plane and why it went missing.
It is devastating, not just to the families. It's devastating to the CEO of that airline and the people involved in that airline who try to get you safely from point A to point B. Because one of the things that was initially brought up is, well, it's Malaysian Airways. I mean, they're probably not paying much attention.
Not true. I mean, not true in the sense that Malaysia Airlines has been around for decades,
right.
50, 60 years. So, and it had, until these two incidents, 17, when it got blown out of the sky, and 370, the airline had a superb
right.
safety record. And not only that, I mean, it's a well-established, well-trained, well-run aeronautically carrier. However, like all airlines in the world, it has been nutcrackered between the Gulf carriers, Emirates, Qatar, and Etihad, and the low-cost carriers like EasyJet, Tiger, and Jetstar, and it was finding it very difficult. Now, there were issues on the night, no question. The airline didn't perform well. The Malaysian government didn't perform well on the night. But these were all, you know, this goes to the heart of a global industry. And that, Steve, is why we're so fascinated by this.
The book is called The Vanishing of Flight MH370. It's Richard Quest. Let's start with the news of yesterday. This missing, is it a tail fin? I don't even know what the proper term for it is that washed ashore.
It's the bit at the back of a plane that looks like a wing. It's known as the horizontal stabilizer.
Okay.
And they believe that's where it comes from. The problem is the texture. It's not really thick enough to have been from a 777. And secondly, there are some views that say the wording no step, a warning to mechanics not to step on it during maintenance, that lettering would normally be bigger. So there are those who believe it's a smaller plane. The first question that the Australians are going to have to answer, because Mozambique is sending it to Australia, firstly, is it from a plane? Secondly, is it from a 777? Thirdly, is it from MH370? And you answer it in those three orders, because the first is pretty much yes. The second, they'll be able to tell quite quickly. The third, you may end up having to do by a process of deduction, Steve, because if there's no number and there's no serial number and there's no markings on it, you're left saying, well, as far as I know, there's no other 777 that's been missing this. Therefore, it's in the right place. Therefore, we have to say it's from that plane.
Richard, if this is in fact determined to be a piece of the fuselage from MH370, could it lead to answers as to what happened, or is this a part of the plane where you really wouldn't know what did happen?
This is the saddest part of the answer I have to give. No, it's not going to tell us anything like that. Remember last year we had the flapper on, which was a very substantial piece of the plane. It was found off Reunion Island. That didn't tell us. It sort of vaguely says you're in the right ocean, and it sort of vaguely says you're in the right part of the ocean, but it doesn't tell you what happened. We need the black boxes, the flight data recorder, the cockpit voice recorder. They are the only way that we will ever find out what happened at 1:19 on March the 8th, 2014, when that plane suddenly went dark, the radios stopped, the plane turned round, and we never heard another word since.
6 hours it flies south. There's been a million conspiracy theories about it. Of all the time you've spent on this, including putting together this book, The Vanishing of Flight MH370, do you have an educated opinion as to what that six-hour period was like?
Well, let me ask you, first of all, I'm going to turn the tables. It's very hard to take an interviewer and turn him into an interviewee. Eventually,
I understand.
I go back to my roots.
I get it.
And what do you think happened? Do you think it was the pilots? Do you think it was mechanical? Do you think it was some government that took it over to protect some secret technology?
No, my feeling is there was something catastrophic that went on in the cockpit that caused the pilots to have a problem where they could no longer fly the plane, and then the plane did what it did. I mean, to me, there has to be an end story to a conspiracy, and 2 years down the road, if it was terrorism, if it was some other reason to have it, we would know more than we know.
And I agree with you, and I agree fully on that, and nor do I think it was pilot suicide, because I've looked at all the cases in the book of pilot suicides, particularly last year, Andreas Lubitz, Germanwings, mm-hmm. The plane flies into the Alps. You know, pilots, when they commit suicide, they get the other pilot out of the cockpit, and they put the plane into a nosedive. They don't start fiddling with the transponder and switching it off, and you know, in some sort of almost Batman-esque, we're going to make it as complicated as possible for you to die. No, they don't do that. They do it quickly in the course of a deranged mind. And there's no evidence, and this is crucial to my mind, serious evidence that says either pilot, particularly the captain, did it.
You have a chapter in the book called Never Again, and while we would hope that this could never happen again, there's no way to guarantee that it won't, obviously. But what do airlines, what have they learned, if anything, from this?
They've learned that they have to reduce the gap from when a plane tells you where it is. Over the oceans where there's no radar, at the moment they report every more than 20-30 minutes. Under international rules, that's coming down to 15 minutes. It's not enough. A plane can fly a long time. If a plane has just reported and then 14 minutes later goes missing, a lot of space can have been flown.
Sure.
With Air France 447, it was only 4 minutes since the last report, and it still took them 2 years to find it in the South Atlantic. They need to do that. There needs to be data streaming of the black box data. So, yes, it may take you a long time to find the bodies and the remains of those on board, but if you stream the data from the black box, at least you know what has happened. And there is technology available. It's not been installed properly yet on many aircraft. That's the future.
Richard Quest, The Vanishing of Flight MH370, The True Story of the Hunt for the Missing Malaysian Plane, CNN aviation correspondent, and also a talk show host himself. Plug your CNN show. When are you on?
I'm on CNN International every day, 4 o'clock. Quest Means Business.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that someday soon as we continue.
We
continue. We're going to take, Richard, I think you'd be interested in this, a friend of mine, former BBCite, is going to give us the British citizenship test tomorrow because considering where our country's headed, we just want to tell the Queen we're sorry and ask
all
if
right.
we can come back.
So if you're taking that test, brush up. I'm going to give you one tip here.
All right.
Because I've seen this test. I've seen versions of it. Brush up on the other countries of the United Kingdom, particularly Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, and the assemblies and parliaments. And once you've been once you're a citizen of Her Majesty, we'll have a cup of tea.
Very good, my friend. Thank you, Richard Quest at Richard Quest on social media. And I know what everybody's thinking. Everybody's thinking he's going to put a puck in his pants. No, he's a journalist. We can't ask him to do it.
No.
As far as you know, 9:19, we'll take a break and come back on 720 WGN.